In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Consoler, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we're going to reflect on the liturgy for the third Sunday in Advent of this cycle we're in, cycle C. The readings we're going to see talk a lot about hope and joy, as well as difficulty. But before we start that, I would like to continue to develop some reflections on faith and culture. We've already done quite a bit of work on this, but I think as you see our problem right now in the church, it's to form a culture. You've heard this phrase many times before. You see, faith, this is John Paul II, faith which does not become a culture is a faith which has not been fully received, completely embraced, or thoroughly thought through. Faith must become a culture, a way of understanding reality and a way of acting in consonance with what we understand. Well, we're surrounded by many competing cultures, so the faith has to be strong enough. The liturgy has to be beautiful enough. The preaching has to be sound and strong enough. And the practice of the faithful in their family life has to be consistent enough to create a culture. And that's what I want to talk about a bit. For instance, in the Constitution Dei Verbum, it speaks of the obedience of faith, which is to be given to God, who reveals an obedience by which man commits his whole self freely to God, offering the full submission of intellect and will to God who reveals, and freely assenting to the truth revealed by him. This notion of the obedience of faith is a phrase from Romans 16:26, okay? Now faith, which arrives, matures in experience, you see, it grows. And as the document Dei Verbum says in number 8, I'll have to find it again. Well, lucky, I found it right away. The tradition that comes from the apostles makes progress, progreditur, in the church with the help of the Holy Spirit. There is a growth in insight into the realities and words that are being passed on. A growth in insight, in understanding of the realities that are passed on in the scriptures and in the tradition. This comes about in various ways. The council lists three ways. The first way that it lists about growing in faith is it comes through the contemplation and study of believers who ponder these things in their hearts. Also, second, it comes from the intimate sense of spiritual realities which they experience, quas experientur. Now that means they are experiencing divine realities, the faithful, all of us. And as I've mentioned several times, I think when I quote this text before, it was almost a month of debate as to whether or not it was all right to say that the faithful experience these realities. That's because of the modernist heresy and so forth. But thank God the word got in, because it wasn't long after that that there was this outburst of deep faith in the faithful, charismatic renewal in other ways. And it needs this text, that it's the way faith grows is by experience. And then finally, it comes from the preaching of those who have received, along with their right of succession in the episcopate, the sure charism of truth. the bishops gathered together can't go wrong. The Lord wouldn't let them. And of course, that's the whole role of the magisterium. The magisterium is not a police function. It's a prophetic function to make sure that the church is always faithful to revelation. So that's what we're talking about here, how faith becomes a culture. All right. Now, this is a very interesting text. It's from St. Thomas. So also in the faith, by which we believe in God, there is not only the accepting of the object of faith, God is triune, whatever, but something moving us to the ascent. And what moves us to this ascent? This is a kind of light, the habit of faith, he calls it. Divinely imparted, faith is a work of God in us, you see? Divinely imparted to the human mind. Now this gift of light given to us by God, it is more capable of causing ascent than any demonstration. I can be surer of that than that our body falls 32 feet per second per second or whatever else that I can demonstrate by physics or metaphysics. This movement of the Holy Spirit moving me to ascent. First, you see, moving to ascent. You see, that's a work of the will. Thus, this light is an adequate means of making judgments. The habit of faith, however, does not move us by way of the intellect, but by way of the will, says Aquinas. As a consequence, it does not make us see what we believe, nor does it force our assent, but it causes us to assent to it voluntarily. This is the secret of growing in faith. You see? It is clear, then, that faith comes from God in two ways, by way of an interior light that leads to assent, and by way of the realities that are proposed from without and have as their source divine revelation. Now, I want to say something about culture, which is the other term, faith and culture, of our discussion. This comes from Gaudium et Spes, number 53. Man comes to a true and full humanity only through culture. He has to be developed, see? That is, through the cultivation of the goods and values of nature. Wherever human life is involved, therefore, nature and culture are quite intimately connected one with the other. The word culture, in its general sense, indicates everything whereby man develops and perfects his many bodily and spiritual qualities. He strives by his knowledge and his labor to bring the world itself under his control. He renders social life more human, both in the family and in the civic community, through the improvement of customs and institutions. You remember, for instance, in the United States, we had a custom of treating African-American people very badly. And it took law on our part to straighten that out. I was out of the United States for a long while. When I came back and I was watching a football game on the television, and I said, look, isn't that wonderful? Not only are the African Americans playing on the field, they're watching in the stands like regular folk. It was sort of a symbolic impact on this, you see, culture. So we had a bad culture in that regard, and we changed it. Throughout the course of time, he expresses, communicates, and conserves in his works great spiritual experiences and desires, and I might add, great sense of justice, that they might be advantage to the progress of many, even of the whole human family. And so, faith must be the motor of this culture. John Paul II, again, because he had such a sense of this need to be aware of culture, he founded the Council for Culture. And in the founding letter, he said this, a faith which does not become culture is a faith which has not been fully received, not thoroughly thought through, not fully lived out. Because if you believe, you're going to live and think and act and judge in a very special way. And if you're a group, you're going to form a culture. And that culture is going to be for the liberation of human beings, not only those who participate in the culture, but those who see the culture. And so the church must have a culture. And that culture is founded on the act of love in which Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died and rose. That's the foundation of our culture. It's the view of reality we have, and of all that follows from that, by way of love for each other, respect for each other, care for the poor, a love of justice all over the world, wherever. You see, all founded on a living experience, as we just had, when I gave you a definition of faith, right? Faith is the, you see, something by which we freely submit, and it grows in experience by first the meditation and prayer of the faithful, and second, by their articulation of what they learn by experience. Experience! That's faith, provides experience. And thirdly, by those who are entrusted with the episcopal office. Faith grows and makes a culture. Well, the problem right now in our culture is that it doesn't. We're sort of washed away. And of course, right now, there's a clash of cultures. And one of the great insights of John Paul II, which he had, as a student, is that we understand our civilization only in terms of what we know and how we know. And we don't look at how we act. That's why his whole thesis, his whole book, is on the acting person. What is an acting person? Not just a knowing person. And all the obfuscation that came into Western thought by thinking about thinking. But what about acting? And that was his great positive insight. We create a culture, by how we act. There's a foundation in how we think, but it's how we act that creates the culture. And that's so important. And therefore, it was his great contribution to Western thought, was to restore a balance between looking at how we think and how we act. The acting person, is his thesis and his first book and his first great contribution to Western thought. So, faith and culture. Faith moves us to embrace reality, to experience it, and to act. And in acting, we create a culture which, if we're true to what we believe, creates something very beautiful, attractive, and human.